Is it their PR person that calls up and sets up the showing and says, here's, you know, fake name, but it's really this person?
Believe it or not, they call me on my cell as themselves.
So you just get like caller ID from Jake Gyllenhaal? Today we had on Heather Sinclair. Heather talks about switching from hospitality to real estate, working with ultra-luxury clientele, and how to become the sheriff in your market. Heather, thank you so much for being on the number one podcast, real estate podcast in the entire world. It's an honor to have you.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Not Eric, just me. So Heather.
Yeah.
Over. Sorry.
let's start that over. I don't know what was going on there.
No, that's good. That's fantastic. I love that start. Heather.
Okay.
Over 20 years in the business. Over $1 billion worth of sales. First off, we're going to get into all this, but can you kind of tell the people a little bit about yourself before we get into it? And then we're going to get into all this fun stuff because you have a pretty crazy story.
I do. Well, my name is Heather Sinclair. I'm from Maryland, but I've lived here in Aspen for over 25 years. And I started my career in luxury hospitality in a 5-star resort and just branched into real estate from there. My father is a real estate developer. And so I just found an opportunity and I went with it. And here I am.
All right. Hospitality. Let's get into this because, okay, I was telling you off air, we have you worked at the Little Nell and it was the first, what was it? The first 5-star
First 5-star, 5-diamond hotel resort in Aspen.
Okay. So I was telling you this off air, so this is a good story. I was talking to John Grauman when I was on his podcast. Grauman is another agency agent. Heather's with the agency as well. We're all family except for Eric. Unfortunately for him, he was not allowed in.
I am an asshole, unfortunately.
Yeah, he is, in fact, an asshole. But I was talking to John Grauman and he was talking about people who would serve these like billionaires on private jets and they would say, oh, I want to get into real estate because I have a great clientele because I serve these people on the jets. And then John was saying like, yeah, but you're kind of, those people don't really see you as maybe an equal. They see you as someone who's bringing you their drinks or something. That was his point. And then he said it would be hard to kind of like make the jump and like make those people into clients who I guess used to, these were like servers. So it's different, but like someone you, I guess, would wait on and then make them a client afterwards. So how did you go from like working there and making those same people you worked with your clientele?
Well, I just got them very drunk because I did work in the bar. I was the assistant bar manager, so I was in charge of the vibes and the fun, and I ended up just making lifelong connections through my service, and there's a lot of people who frequent that particular establishment still to this day, every day, in fact. So it was really easy for me to be to transition from being a staff to, you know, helping them with lifestyle decisions and legacy properties in Aspen.
What was the initial reach out like to that clientele? Because I remember when I first got my license, I didn't even want to tell anybody. I was like, do I send a mass email? Do I post on Instagram, Facebook? Like, how'd you let all these people know that you became a realtor and that you wanted their business?
Well, Aspen's a very small town, so it's pretty easy to get the word out. Back when I started, we didn't really have the same methods of communication that we do now with social media and even email. So it was really just face-to-face, being out and about and conversations and appointments. And I still use that today, every day.
Sorry to interrupt, but if you're listening, this means you care about real estate marketing. You care about becoming a better agent. And that's exactly why you need to join our new platform, BAMX. We have monthly courses for our members, including my Instagram course, Objection Handling, Green Screens, Captions, and more. You also get access to our exclusive private community for literally a Frappuccino a month. Use code OVERASK for 10% off. There is a link down in the description.
Everyone I talk to about you, which since we didn't really know each other too well, and then we hung out in New York, and then you became like one of my favorite people. So I tell everyone about you. I'm like, you know Heather? And they're like, yeah. But everyone who knows you is like, if you go to Aspen, Heather knows everything there, everybody there, everybody knows her. How do you get to that place where like organically, where like you're not like shoving it down their throat that you're a real estate agent? And like they just said, like everywhere you go, people know who you are. You're like a real deal celebrity there.
I'm the sheriff.
Sheriff.
I really love being out and about and seeing people. I had a moment last summer on the 4th of July where the mayor of Aspen was walking down the street and he took one look at me and he said, "No assholes." Nice. And to me, that's brand awareness. I have it on video, the mayor of Aspen saying, "No assholes." So it's brand awareness. It's constantly being out and about. Again, it's a very small community, and I love going to restaurants and charity events and just kind of being involved in the community. And I think that, along with a really fun lifestyle, I live the lifestyle, as you know, makes people really excited. And that's kind of what I do on a daily basis.
Yeah. Give us an idea what the Aspen market is like. I mean, we looked at some of your listings, $20 million, $15 million. Like, these are obviously ultra luxury properties. And I'm sure you have to market to people outside of the Aspen community, outside of Colorado. These are like international buyers. So how are you reaching people in China, in Miami, in New York? Like, what's your methodology for communication to reach all those people?
Definitely number one, whoop, I have a situation here, guys, with an animal coming in through the frame.
Wildlife?
Yes.
Yeah, just an wild elk. Aspen life. She's just in a cabin.
Aspen polar bear.
You guys wanted the Wild Wild West, and you have it. so sorry, the question was how do I reach them on an international stage? Yeah. Obviously using the agency's tools, with our email blasts and social media has been huge for us since day one. We have a killer location in Aspen, which is arguably the best location in Aspen for a real estate office. We're next to the two hottest restaurants in town. So we have people walking by and we do get a lot of walk-ins. I also host a lot of pop-ups with different brands that I represent as an ambassador and invite a lot of people in. And that helps a lot. It's not your parents' real estate office. It's more of a real estate gallery, retail space, bar, if you will. So we love having people in. In fact, I had some people stop by today to see me who wanted to let me know that they have a trailer hookup tonight. And this is not your average trailer hookup. This is, you know, Mercedes trailer hookup at the rodeo, first night of the rodeo. Just wanted to make sure I stopped by. So people just love and gravitate towards our office.
When you say pop-ups, do you mean?
I know you are.
I used to go to a rodeo, Matt, in Tucson, Arizona, actually. We used to have a thing called rodeo break instead of spring break in Tucson. It was rodeo break. So we'd go
watch the
bulls. Yeah, I mean, I was like 5 years old. But so when you say pop-ups, like pop-ups, is that in your office or are you actually physically setting up somewhere else with these brands?
No, the goal is to create brand awareness for my business and also for the agency. So the pop-ups are always in the office. We get a really great vibe late at night with the restaurants that are nearby. So we try to capitalize on our clients who love to eat in the restaurants next to us and also who want to stop in and say hi. People love coming in and taking our hats, which Matt is waiting for one very patiently. Yes. And so, yes, I partnered with a jewelry company. I'm a brand ambassador for Kemosabe. And so I typically host these events with the intention of having my clients come in and meeting new ones.
So they're actually at physically at your office?
Physically in the office.
Got it. Okay.
You also have a, like a, you do collabs with the bespoke, like the it's like a bespoke suiting place, not just suiting, but it's like a bespoke tailor. That's pretty cool too. I've seen some of the stuff you've done there.
Yes. We've actually, I think we've had 5 or 6 pop-ups with the custom suit line that you're referring to. And it's just a really high-end way to communicate with your clients. And at my first pop-up with the bespoke company, I invited, I think, 15 of my clients, and they all came.
Wow. So, and they actually, like,
all came.
They actually get, like, they come and, like, get a suit? Or do they, like, what does that look like to do, like, an event like that?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I mean, not everyone left with a new suit. A lot of people did. And also, I think you may have seen her women's clothing as well. So she designs really cool skirts and really high-end women's wear that you can wear to different events. And so, yes, I mean, you don't necessarily leave with it. You leave with a credit card receipt.
An order.
But it's all custom.
Yeah,
all custom.
Exactly.
So it took a few months to produce, but that particular designer just left last week. She came back in to do final fittings for all of my clients. So it was another way to get people together and to communicate with them face to face.
That's smart. That's actually so smart because, like, you obviously don't leave with a custom suit, so they got to come back. So it's like a two-touch program for you to see your client. You're giving them access to this, like, incredible custom suit place. Like, that's actually genius. Not enough people, like, people will do events. I don't want to shit on people who do, like, events that, like, I don't know, they give, like, I don't want to even say it because we've had people say it on here, but they do other things.
What were you
like,
say?
I don't know.
No, like, idea where you're going with that one.
Like, I don't know. When, like, you go, like, it's fine for some people, like, if you go and, like, deliver pumpkins or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, like, this is a bit more refined, maybe.
It's very refined. It's also very fun. So it's, the idea is just, again, because of our location, it's not really hard to get people excited to come in and see us and to be able to have some cool brand that no one's ever seen here before and have clients come in and participate and not only come twice, but it's actually 3 touches because they get the final fitting and the delivery. So,
genius.
Yeah, it's been going really well. We have a lot of well-dressed people.
Well-dressed. I need to go there. I need to get a custom suit. I didn't even get one for my wedding, actually. I think I just got that straight off the rack. But Heather, so the Aspen market, I'm very curious about, is it seasonal? Like, is it more popular during a certain month? Is it kind of like the Hamptons, like the ski season's the best, or is it great throughout the 12 months of the year? Oh, there's an animal right there. A coyote just ran across Heather's lap.
That's shotgun. Shotgun kitty.
That's cute.
There are several animals in the Sinclair household. Can you repeat that, Eric? I'm sorry.
I was just, the Aspen market, is it super seasonal? Just because, is it seasonal? Is it like the Hamptons where it's like, 3 months you got people like touring houses, or is it throughout the entire 12 months?
It used to be very seasonal. And in fact, when I first moved here, mud season, which would be considered April through June, was just absolutely dead. I mean, the town would shut down. And post-COVID, it's very different here because we had, very wealthy refugees coming here during COVID in the spring, in April, May, June. So ever since then, people have discovered that maybe it's nice to not have to ski every day and to hike and to have a little more of a quiet experience. So it is seasonal, but not at the same level as it was pre-COVID.
So before COVID, when I was 3 months dead, what'd you do during that time period to, you know, keep improving your business?
Mm-hmm. A lot of travel, typically, but now this year, for example, for me, I didn't really have much of an off season, but I did create a new business plan, new marketing plan, and really thinking in a seasonal scope of June 15th, which is our true kickoff to the summer, which is next week. It kicks off with a festival called the Aspen Food and Wine Festival next Thursday. And it goes until about September 30th. So my plan is usually in a seasonal format. And that's usually what I do in the off season is just kind of regroup. And I'm very grateful that we have it.
I like that. It
must be nice to have a little couple month. A little couple month break there, Matt, to just regroup, refresh and everything. Well, not a break, but just like instead of it being like nonstop all the time.
I like that you talk about it like a. Not like a hockey season.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of the Aspen culture is just ski season. People talk about seasons, even though now, as I said, it's more of a four-season community, and it's just nice to regroup a little, and I'll do the same in the fall.
How hard?
That's when I ran my horse.
In Aspen, I guess, how many agents are there around, and how hard was it to like get your footing and establish yourself as one of the top agents in the market?
700 licensed agents in Aspen, which would be 6,000 full-time residents. So quite a few, licensed agents. There are some agents who, just our ski instructors and do this on more of a part-time basis. I think establishing your footing, I got in early, but I also had a client base from my years at the Little Nell and doing other things. So it was not necessarily easier for me, but I had, I laid the groundwork early on. And I also worked in development, which is a great way to start out in Aspen in this business, working in project development.
And you were doing...
Do you have to be... Go ahead, Matt.
There's a leg. We interrupt each other at least once an episode. Today, it's twice. you were doing all this, like your come up, while raising two twins. Twins. I don't know how to say two twins. Twins.
Okay, I got it.
Right? You're like throughout your whole thing.
Well, they're 14, so they have definitely seen a lot of this and actually went with me to LA when I signed the deal with Mauricio. So my biggest supporters and balancing and juggling is definitely an everyday act of juggling and balancing.
I'm lagged.
There's a lot of juggling.
Do you have to know like skiing to be a successful Aspen realtor? Because I don't know anything about skiing. And if I wanted to, you know, break ground as an Aspen realtor, do you have to be obsessed with the mountains and everything happening in the snow, or can you not ski?
I think you have to really love skiing to live here. It's There's a lot of snow and there's a lot of skiing, and that's kind of what this town was built on. So it does help to be successful. I take my clients skiing. I take them snowmobiling. I think Matt has heard a couple of fun stories about the adventures I do. And I think it gives me an edge. And it's important.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And fun. It's also a lot of fun.
Can you talk about any of your big clients? Or no?
Like, is there anyone? I can tell you stories, but I can't name names. I would say, again, I think tailoring an experience along with five-star service and a fun vibe is what I'm known for. And I took some very famous clients snowmobiling and horseback riding on New Year's Day, which was great. And it was very personal. It was well, we didn't have guides. I mean, it was just us. And that's what they love.
Tailoring. Was that a
hint? They love the experience.
Was that a hint for Taylor Swift? He took Taylor Swift.
Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner. Actually, Taylor Lautner is Jordan's client. I think I might know one, but I can't say it. Could have been Eric. Could have been Eric, the broke agent.
No, definitely not. No? Unfortunately, can't ski. Don't go in weather below 70 degrees. So certainly not me.
So
what about horses? So, horses in the snow, Eric.
Yeah, I could mess with horses. I did ride an elephant in Thailand. I've been on camels before, so you know I could definitely ride animals, but I usually just stay away from snow. Heather, I got a question about your media. So you have been on like the Robb Report, Mansion Global, Dwell, Fox News, like you know a bunch of different publications. How can a realtor break into getting into these large publications? Like, is it through the agency? Are you reaching out to them, or what's a way to go about that?
Well, definitely through the agency. I mean, that certainly helps. We have our own PR department, so that helps a lot in getting the publicity because they do have a lot of relationships. But it's also having great listings and something really cool to talk about that people will be interested in. We did a Robb Report Live during COVID, and we had 10,000 viewers in the first 5 minutes, and we sold the house that day.
Wow.
A $12 million ranch that had been on the market for 7 years. We sold it. We had two offers the same day. So, yeah, it was pretty fun. And we did have horses there, Eric.
Porsches?
Horses.
Oh, horses. I was like, no, Porsches.
No Porsches.
Okay.
There's no Porsches in Aston, just horses.
Got it. There's probably about Porsches
and fishing rods and whatever we had to do to get the house sold.
There you go.
That's crazy. That's so. I was gonna ask about that actually, like, because you're kind of in the ultra luxury. Like, what's your lowest listing right now? Like, $2 million or something? You know what I hear all the time, Eric?
What?
Agents complain that online leads are trash.
You're right. It's so annoying.
It is annoying. Not converting, being non-responsive, etc. Let me let you in on a little secret, Eric.
Okay.
Boomtown was literally designed to overcome those challenges. They know that online home shoppers are further out from transacting maybe 3, 6, even 12 months, Eric, down the road. So Boomtown nurtures those leads for you using proven automated smart drip campaigns.
And beyond that, Boomtown also monitors your entire database of leads for behaviors that indicate readiness to transact and then engage them for you at exactly the right time. You see everything, everywhere, all at once. Omnipotent, right, Matt? Or omniscient or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, except it's you that's everywhere. And there are no hot dog fingers, whatever the hell those are. So if you're ready to grow your database and have your transactions steadily increase, visit boomtownroi.com/overask. If you haven't yet already, after listening to this podcast for 2 years, you're out of your damn mind. Plus, you'll get $750 in free digital advertising credits. That's boomtownroi.com/overask. It's the best CRM in the game, hands down.
No, I have a listing, a really cool duplex for 1295. That is closing next week. It's on a golf course. It's on a golf course near a river. It's pretty amazing.
So, but would you say most of your listings are, or is it kind of half and half with like ultra luxury? And by ultra luxury, I mean like 10 million plus, and then like under 10 million. Are you kind of like half and half there?
I would say half and half. I mean, in Aspen right now, we only have 18 listings less than 10 million in the whole town.
That's crazy.
10 years ago.
And 600 agents, you said, are fighting for those listings?
600 agents are fighting for 18
Which
listings
is
under 10 million.
Like one in 10 people basically is a licensed agent there. That's crazy.
The math is pretty crazy. I try not to really think about it too much. I just do my thing. But 10 years ago, we had 75 listings less than 10 million. Now we have 18. Right. So it's
so
becoming
many,
more by the day.
How many agents are really, like, is it you and like three others doing all the business? Like really?
Because
that's pretty much what it usually is, like a couple agents doing everything.
It's 10% of the 600 is the number or the percentage that I've heard most often. And if you look in the MLS, it's kind of the same names. And also talking with these people and seeing open houses and seeing new listings, it's 10% of the 600.
Right. So
ish.
Where are, because Eric kind of said it earlier on, like you're, I guess, looking for international. Like is someone, a lot of the time is like your client selling their house and moving to a different house in Aspen? Or is this like a vacation house for them? Like, is it a lot of like Aspen people selling and then moving somewhere else in Aspen? Or is it pretty much all international buyers coming in?
It's there's definitely some international, but it's mostly domestic buyers from LA, New York, Chicago, and Texas. Texas is really big in the summer, mainly because it's not that far from Texas. It's easy to get to, and it's really hot there, obviously. So this is a great getaway. Internationally, yes, we have quite a few, but I would say right now, I mean, I have some clients who are looking at, they're looking at buying a bigger house. They already have a home here and have some new grandchildren, so have a need for a larger home now. So we have some moving and shaking with that,
right,
as well.
Do these buyers ever buy sight unseen, or they're always flying up to Aspen, driving up to Aspen to actually see the properties?
I had a sight unseen last year for $7 million.
Wow.
There you go. $7 million sight unseen. Condo?
$7 million.
Oh yeah, I was asking
condo.
About condo. I said like how would I want a really nice condo there. How much would it cost? And you told me like $7 million. I was like, what? What do you mean?
We talked about that at dinner. I think you asked for more specifics, like ski in, ski out, and near all the restaurants.
I wanted it to be good. You know, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it. So how important is kind of agent to agent referral and building those networking and building those relationships with other agents? Obviously it's huge for you. Yeah.
I think it's really huge within the agency community, but also, you know, worldwide. I have a lot of agents who don't work with us at the agency and who I talk to all the time, but also in my own community. I think it's huge to have relationships. You're going to be working with these people at some point, the 10% of 600 at some point. So it's great to have an ongoing friendly relationship, doing a lot of these insane deals that, you know, doing a deal at this level requires a lot, and certainly a lot of trust in the other agent.
Yeah.
Is big.
Buyer that you've had to deal with.
Say that again, Eric. I couldn't hear the first part.
What's like the weirdest quirk of a luxury buyer or a celebrity that you've had to deal with where they've had to be like super discreet or like ask you to do something ridiculous? I'm sure there's a million examples of this.
I think there's more than a million. The biggest thing is always just keeping up with the Joneses and see and be seen. They want to be, it doesn't matter if it's the most famous celebrity in the world or someone who isn't well known. They all want to be in the coolest restaurants at the best tables. It's the same, you know, in any city, but here, especially over Christmas and New Year's, if they don't get a table at Cash Cash or Matsuhisa, I mean, we are literally walking in, talking with the managers. We know the managers in every single restaurant in this town. We know what our clients drink, what they eat, what time they walk in, who their security guards are, everything. So
yeah,
having relationships with the restaurants is very important because that's always the biggest, not necessarily quirk, but it's the same thing that you see over and over again.
That's what I'm
gonna do. You ever get nervous talking to
Matt?
You want a reservation at Matsubishu?
Yeah, I need all Heather, the results.
Do you ever get nervous talking to these celebrities?
No.
Were you at first? No. Like, do you
actually,
just...
I, I actually did. I met Sean White recently, and I don't know why, but he made me kind of nervous. I think because my son thinks he's so cool.
Yeah.
But no, I don't.
Was Nina Dobrev there?
I'm sorry?
Was Nina there? Nina Dobrev? When you met
no.
Sean?
Okay. Just Sean.
Just Sean. What do you, we're going down a rabbit hole with these celebrities you can't talk about. What do you like when you know you're meeting this person, like, what do you like? Do you like dress differently? Do you take out the nicer car? You know, like, does that, any of that affect your mindset or anything?
It depends on who it is and where I'm meeting them. We've had to send interns to private airports in different, you know, under discreet cars to pick up clients and to pick up luggage. And there's so many stories I can tell you.
I know you have so many. I know some of the stories that you can't tell.
I don't dress differently. I would say I'm always me, and I want them to see me as me, but I am very polished and professional and ready to go. And I don't want to say I dress like them, but I wear my nicest clothes, depending on who it's going to be, and dress for the part. I took someone very famous, as I was mentioning, horseback riding on New Year's Day, and I wore my chaps. And I dressed going horseback riding. And we had a little Yellowstone experience because one of the horses ended up getting loose, and we had to chase the horse down and rope him and bring him back. And that was quite the adventure.
That's such a
damn, you really gotta be like a cowboy to live out there. When you're horseback horseback riding with a celebrity, Are the horses right next to each other? Like, are they galloping next to each other where you could have an actual conversation, or are you just kind of going in different directions? Like, is it a slow stroll? I don't know how it works.
depends on the
horse.
It's
not like where you're golfing with someone. You're sitting in a car, yeah. Then you're conversing like on the tee box or something. With a horse, I feel like you're just all over the place. It's like you may as well just, you know, drive in separate directions.
I thought you were going to ask the horse got nervous.
Like, yeah, did the horse get nervous when the celebrity?
Celebrity
when they had Sean White on their back?
Yeah. No, it wasn't Sean White.
No.
Actually,
I think I know who this one was. Pretty sure.
I think Matt knows who it is. Right next to me is the answer. But also, you know, when you're riding horses, you're kind of in a single file line, or in this case, we're on a wide trail. So we were all kind of riding together at the same time, at the same pace, laughing and talking about where we were having lunch.
Right.
So like, how does that work? Like, so you do a deal or you see a couple places and then you're like, hey, want to hop on some horses? Like, how do you get them? Cause like Eric, for example, he's out of the business now, but he couldn't even get his clients to go in the same car as him. You're getting horseback riding experiences before lunch. It's pretty crazy.
On New Year's Day. I mean, obviously it was a prearranged thing, and it was my idea based on my relationship with this particular client and knowing what she likes. And I just pitched it, thought it would be really fun, and
there's a hint.
She was really excited. She was really excited and couldn't wait. It was something she was really, really looking forward to with her friends. And we just did it. I called a few people, and next thing you know, we had 12 horses there on New Year's Day with a couple Wranglers and a little bit of beer.
That's insane.
Nice.
What an insane.
Yeah, like, Matt, you're right. You're right. I couldn't even get my clients to ride in the same car as me. You're completely right. They wouldn't even meet me at the property. It was crazy. I'd be like, hey, we got a showing at 3 o'clock, and they wouldn't even show up.
I saw your face. I saw you just thinking. of your response the whole time on that joke.
Heather, once an episode, Matt's got to make the same dig. It's like his crutch, you know? He's got to be like, well, you know,
I know,
you got to ride horses, but Eric couldn't even get in a car.
Yeah. Eric has a different set of skills.
Exactly. A very particular set of skills.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
I also think that, as I was saying earlier, I mean, people, my clients are looking to me to provide the lifestyle that they want to live.
Yeah.
And I'm providing like a local experience and doing things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. Or in some cases with celebrities, they don't want a whole deal where people find out about it and it breaches security. And I mean, this is all very discreet, and there's a level of trust that they have knowing that we're not selling these stories and we're not putting this on Instagram, and we're kind of with them on the same level, having fun together.
Yeah. Do the celebrities ever use, do they ever use fake names? Cause I've worked with a couple. Yeah. But what's the point? So like when they call you, do they say like, hey, it's Jack Twist, but really it's, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal or Heath Ledger, or, you know, that's a Brokeback Mountain Jack Twist. Just saw it a couple days ago, actually.
Would be pretty crazy if Heath Ledger called it right now.
But, not Heath Ledger, but you know what I mean.
Like, call me from...
Is it their PR person that calls up and sets up the showing and says, here's, you know, fake name, but it's really this person, but we're going to refer to them as this fake name? Like, how does that work?
I'm shaking my head because as much as I'm sure that happens in places like LA and New York, where there's just so many people and more access, here, believe it or not, they call me on my cell as themselves.
Oh, okay.
Which,
so you just get like caller ID from Jake Gyllenhaal. Just says Jake Gyllenhaal across your phone.
Yeah. Jack Twist.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And every time it happens, I'm pretty baffled because it's like, wait, who? Oh, you're calling me for what? So, yes, they call me. They do have aliases, though, that we use for other things like ski passes and dinners and whatever it is.
I just remember doing this with my old boss, and I'd be like, hey, you know, Diane Sinclair, for I couldn't even think of another name, Diane Simon, my mom is calling. And then you would tell the agent. And then you would tell the agent, like, hey, Diane Simon's got a showing, but actually it's Taylor Swift. You know, it's just like, so what's the point of even using this fake name if everybody's just saying that? So it's like we all keep using this fake name, but then telling the actual celebrity. So,
well,
happened to me.
Well,
once.
We do have a lot of celebrities here, and we also have a lot of very high end people, per se, who may not be well known in a celebrity sense, but are very wealthy. So, I think in terms of getting them into places and showings, the other agent is like, come on, who is it? It's not my first rodeo. Who is it?
Yeah. They should just send a text message with a fake. They should send a text message with a fake name and a wink face. So you know it's someone else, but it's very discreet. And then be like, do you want to take on this client, Jack Twist? But then it's,
I'm just going to say it's Matt Leonetti.
There you go. You can just use my name all the time. I would be honored if you made one of those celebrities a fake name and made it my name. Do it all day long. I'll give you my license. Okay. I'll give you everything. Yeah, go for it. No problem.
I actually have someone in mind, Matt, who we can do that with next Christmas. A major, major celebrity. He can be Matt.
Okay. I'm in. Well, okay. I'm coming at the end of July. I'm coming at the end of July, so I'm coming to see you. So set up the celebs, set up the horses, set up the dinner rezos, the tailors. I want it all. I want the full Aspen experience.
You got it.
Okay.
Full Gazelle experience, Matt.
Okay, I'm excited. I am actually very excited. I only know Aspen from Dumb and Dumber, so I want to see the Heather Sinclair version of Aspen.
I have a little Dumb and Dumber vibe.
Yeah?
Everyone has to have a little Where the Beer Flows Like Wine and Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Have it.
All right.
My repertoire. Well,
I'm excited. Heather, it was an honor to have you on. You're one of my favorite people in the business. And And I was very happy that you agreed to this. And I'm going to see you soon. Thank you for coming on. Where can the people find you?
Well, the agency Aspen is the best place. As I described, we're in the hottest location in Aspen. Mill Street Plaza next to Cash Cash and Campo de Fiori. And also Aspen Heather One. I'm launching my new website next week as well.
Badass.
Nice.
All right, well, we'll link that up. We'll try and link it up. Yeah. When it comes out.
We can link it up.
Okay, I just don't know if it's gonna, if the days are going to I don't know if the days are going to... Once you get the link, send it to us.
I think we're capable of that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will do.
Jesus. Okay,
all right,
Heather,
thank you.
Thanks so much.
Guys.